gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed.
Welcome in to episode 3 of the Grinding the Edge podcast, hosted by me, Koopa. You can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on the South Harmon Discord. If you ever want to come and talk to me about any of these episodes, any of the data that I'm pulling from, things like that, you can sign up at the South Harmon Patreon, patreon.com/South Harmon. If you get access to the pregame pooper tier, you're able to get access to the Wrinkled Brains channel, and that's where I'm posting all of my notes for each of these episodes, so that way you can go back and look at the same things I am as I talk through each episode. This episode is going to be talking about the best way, in my opinion, to do a dynasty startup, and that's with an auction. I have an auction coming up, as of recording this, the following day, with a bunch of people from the JWB Patreon. If you haven't checked them out before, go check them out on YouTube at the JWB Fantasy Football Team. And tomorrow night, I'm going to be doing a live auction draft with a bunch of them. I'm going to go through my prep and talk about all the things that I'm going to have prepared for when I'm going into this auction draft, but also some of the strategies that I'm going to be willing to flex to rather quickly. And then after the draft, I'm going to come back on and talk about how it went, how things that I wasn't prepared for, things that I was prepared for, how I had to flex in the middle of the auction. And since this is a fast draft, I'm going to need to make sure that I'm well prepared and make sure that I understand what it is that I'm going into and what is the scoring like in this league, how do I want a roster construct, and be able to flex rather quickly depending on the values that the other people are putting in. I've never drafted with these people in a startup before, so I don't know exactly what their tendencies are, so I kind of need to be a little bit overprepared for how do I expect things to go, and then also some possibilities of how things might end up going, so that way I can easily flex to an optimal strategy that's going to be something that they are maybe leaving in the dust and allow me to pick up the extra value by the end of the auction. Before we get into it, I want to give another shout out to our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. If you did not know, South Harmon has partnered with Ultimate Autographs to be able to sponsor so you can get 15% off of all their live sports memorabilia breaks. Three times a day, they go on stream, and you're able to watch as they pick your memorabilia for you. This is great for somebody who maybe you don't necessarily care that you get that exact player, but you're able to target specific divisions, teams, sports, and get all of this amazing, authentic memorabilia that you're able to use to deck out your sports cave, your room, whatever it is that you have, and be able to show how much of a fan you are. So if you go to signed shit, that is signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout, you're going to get 15% off of everything that you get. Once again, that's signed shit or signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout. For this episode, I'm also going to be heavily utilizing the Warp tool. For right now, until the start of the NFL draft, if you use the code DRAFTSEASON on the South Harmon website, that's southharmonff.com, you can get 20% off of the Warp tool. If you have not gone and tried it, I would highly recommend going on, taking the 20% discount, sign up for just 1 month, and try the Warp tool. Plug in all of your leagues, get all the data, take a look at everything that is there, and figure out, how should I be roster constructing this team? What sort of values are there position to another position compared to a more standard league? That's what I'm going to be talking through with this league here today. And it's something that is very important when it comes to when you're doing any kind of startup, whether it's a auction startup or a snake startup or even if it's just a league that's been going on for years and years, and you're finally ready to try and build a contender or take that contender that you really should be breaking down and try to squeeze one more year out of it. So if you go to southharmonff.com and you see on the banner, it says use code draft season, just click that banner and it'll take you right to the warp page and you'll be able to purchase that subscription. So let's get into this league and take a look at some of the unique scoring settings that we have going on, which might influence some of how we're going to want to roster construct. First things first, this is a lineup league. It's a 12-team super flex start 10. You start one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, two flexes, and a super flex. Nothing special there. During the draft, we will be drafting rookie picks as opposed to players. So that is something that is going to eventually come up, is would I be willing to spend anything on those rookie picks? Scoring setting wise, we've got some interesting quarterback ones here. We have half a point per completed pass and then minus 0.94 points for each incomplete pass. I don't know exactly how that number got chosen, but it does heavily discourage incomplete passes. We also have bonuses of 0.35 points for rushing first downs and 0.5 points for receiving first downs. For receiving, we have 0.5 points per reception. So less points per reception, especially when I talk about in episode 1 how almost 70% of leagues are PPR. This is a half PPR league, but actually it's a tiered PPR. So it's half PPR for running backs, 0.8 PPR for wide receivers, and 1 PPR for tight ends. So going off of the episode that I just did last week about what it's like in a 1 PPR tight end league and how I don't care about tight ends, I am going to not care about tight ends. I'm going to play the waiver wire strategy hard. I'm going to leave this draft with one tight end just to have somebody. I'll see how crusty of a player that is. I don't even know who it's going to be yet, but it's probably not going to be somebody that excites you. But that is totally fine with how I'm going to play, because that's going to give me more money to invest in all the other positions. Lastly, we've got a little bit of a special teams touchdown. You get 6 points, so if I have a kick returner who happens to return for a touchdown, that's a good bonus. It's not something that I'm really going to play for, though, because I don't get any of the yards. Stay tuned for a future episode. I will be talking about kick returns in fantasy football, because that's going to be a big change for this season. But for now, I'm just not going to worry about those guys. So the main things that I really want to pay attention to is that it hurts the inaccurate quarterbacks, and this scoring means I don't really care about the tight end position. So I'm just going to roll into the draft with, okay, I want to be adjusted in those realms. I might want to boost those quarterbacks that I know are really good passers, as opposed to maybe some of those rushing guys. However, I'm actually looking back over the scoring settings right now again, and it's actually 4 points per passing touchdown, so that's a boost back up to the rushing quarterbacks. So I'm going to have to look through the warp chart, see where all these guys line up to each other, and I'm going to make a decision as I get closer to piecing together, okay, exactly what kind of strategies am I going to try and go in with. So now I'm going to start getting and looking into the warp chart. So if you go onto the warp tool at southharmonff.com/warp, that's W-O-R-P, you can pull up the warp chart, and if you choose the platform sleeper and you put in my username, which is KoopaTroopa8, you can pull up the league. It is the CDA Cartoon Dynasty Auction from JWE Patreon. So once you get it pulled up, looking at the multi-year graph, I see that right off the bat, quarterbacks are the most valuable position. Then it comes wide receivers, and then running backs are below that, and then tight ends are way below all the other positions. Rookie picks are something I'm just going to discard for now, because I'll explain a little later in terms of how I like to build my teams, why I'm just going to ignore those for the most part in this auction. So, looking at the quarterbacks, they tend to cross over the wide receiver at around quarterback 12, wide receiver 12. So, already I know that I'm getting good value on my quarterbacks if I'm getting a top 12 quarterback, especially if that top 12 quarterback is young. So I already want to be biased towards those guys. Then I know that I want to have most of my depth into wide receivers, which is a good thing to know. It's something that you tend to want to do in lineup, but it's always helpful when your scoring settings match up to that expectation. The running backs, I want to have a few. I might want to try and have enough to be able to fill my running back spots, but I'm going to try and leave all the flexes to wide receivers. And tight ends, they really don't matter. It plays perfectly into the tight ends don't matter strategy, and I love that. So now I'm going to go into how I allocate budget. How I always go in with an idea of a certain amount of total budget and how I'm going to split it among the positions and try to stick pretty close to those numbers. Sometimes if I know that I'm going to go under at a certain position, I'll allocate mentally, okay, I'm going to move this much budget to this other position so that way I can maybe get a better, bump up another tier, get better players, get more players, whatever. So the way I do that is I always start with just dividing it up straight based on the warp recommended roster construction. So in this league, it is quarterbacks or it recommends 3.5, running backs 4.83, tight ends 2.58, wide receivers 7, and droppable 9.08. I just take my total budget, in this case it's 1,000, and I divide it by all those numbers. So there's 27 total roster spots, $37 per position, and then when you blow it out, you get $129 for quarterback, $178 for running back, $95 for the tight end, $259 for wide receivers, and $336 that are flexible. Now, that doesn't really help us a whole lot in terms of how we're going to actually distribute our money during this auction. It just gives us a bit of a baseline. I've done enough auctions before to know that quarterbacks are not going to go for that cheap. I cannot get two quarterbacks for $129, never mind two starting quarterbacks. So I'm going to need to allocate a bunch of money over to that. Usually at a base level, your lowest starting quarterbacks that you know are going to start this coming year are going to go for like $80 to $100. So I want to put much more into that. So what I'm going to do is first I'm going to remove my tight end number down to $1 and move all that money to flexible. So then I have $430 into the flexible budget. And then I'm going to move all but 100 of those flexible dollars into the quarterback position. So that now gives me a budget of $459 for the quarterback position, which should be more than enough to get me two solid quarterbacks. Can I get a Jalen Hurts and maybe a Kirk Cousins? Can I get an Anthony Richardson and a Tua Tagovailoa? Something like that, where I'm getting two solid quarterbacks that the first guy is going to be a top tier of player. He's going to have a bunch of rushing upside, that sort of thing. And the second one is going to be somebody who's solid, who can put in those top end quarterback two numbers, maybe eke out some low end quarterback ones, things like that. So going back through my budgets again, I have $459 for the quarterback, $178 for the running back, $1 for a tight end, $259 for wide receivers, and $100 flexible. Now, the reason I like to keep $100 flexible is that way I can more easily reallocate some money, but depending on how people are allocating their money in the draft. If I find that, hey, everybody is valuing these quarterbacks much more, I can easily add that $100 into the quarterback position and make sure that I get my guys without needing to pull from money that I already have allocated to making sure I get good enough wide receivers and running backs. Because if I'm allocating more money to those positions, other people are also going to be allocating more money to those positions. One player skyrocketing up in value is going to cause all the other players in that position to skyrocket up with them as well. We might see a little bit of the play counterplay because we are doing this auction on Sleeper. So players are only going to be nominated one at a time. Whereas some of the other auctions I've done, we have like 36 players nominated at one time. So you see that like, oh, if Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are on the board together, well, if somebody loses on Patrick Mahomes, they're going to immediately bid up Jalen Hurts to almost the same number Patrick Mahomes is at. Things like that. In this one, we won't have that, so we might see a little bit more of a disparity between the different quarterbacks, what they go for. Same with the running backs and the wide receivers. Just more going along the lines of, hey, the guys that are nominated earlier are going to go for more. So I'm going to try and make sure that the guys at the beginning do end up going for more and try to hold as much money as I can and take advantage of some of the values that are going to come later. And so that kind of goes into a little bit of what my targets are going to be. I don't like to target specific players. I like to target specific ranges. I talked about this in episode one. And so what I want to do is go in and I want to try and get myself two of those top 12-ish quarterbacks. And can I get a Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Anthony Richardson? Can I get myself a Tua, a Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, somebody like that as my quarterback too? And then I'll grab myself two backups pretty late, maybe like $10 guys or something like that. Can I get like a Sam Darnold? Can I get he even might be too expensive. Can I get Tyler Heinicke? I'm doing an Eric and calling him Taylor. And can I get some other backup who's maybe a $1 guy? Can I get a Mike White or something? And that's how I'll build my quarterback room. Now, the nice part about having the budget by position is that if I find myself in a position where, okay, I've snuck something through, I'm able to get myself an Anthony Richardson, and maybe I'm able to get myself another more top-tier guy. Maybe I can get myself into a Kyler Murray or something. If I get both of those guys under my budget, well, I have two such strong quarterbacks, I don't necessarily need to be as worried about how good those backups are. And so then I'm able to just know, all right, I'm running out those two guys, and I don't care about needing to spend the $10 for the Sam Darnold anymore. I can spend $1 and get those absolute scrub backups, your Matt Corrals or your Skylar Thompson, Mike White, Josh Dobbs, those sorts of players. At the running back position, I have $178 allocated to it, and I don't think I'm going to need to spend $178 to get myself a bunch of stud running backs. I really only need one. So with $178, in the past, I've seen the top tier running backs go from anywhere like 90 to 110. So can I get one of those top tier guys? Can I get a Bijan Robinson? Can I get a Breece Hall? Can I get a Jahmyr Gibbs? Somebody like that. In this league, there is something to note interesting about the PPR versus the first down scoring, how all that worked. So last year in a standard PPR league, Alvin Kamara was running back 6, but he's running back 12 in the scoring. Kyren Williams was running back 11, and he's running back 6 in the scoring. So that's something where I might be able to rely on some of my league mates bidding up players that look more similar to Alvin Kamara. Maybe that's like a Rashad White kind of player. Whereas they aren't as strong in this format, and so I can focus in a little bit more on the Kyren Williams. Can I focus in on the Derrick Henry? Can I focus in on the James Conners? Those sorts of guys, where I'm able to find value in the other running backs that are, maybe I'll spend an extra dollar or two more on those guys compared to my league mates, and that's how I'll build my room. So if I can get a Bijan or Breece for, let's just call it $100, and then I'm able to spend $30 on getting myself a Derrick Henry, now I have $48 left that I'm able to go through, and I'll just get a bunch of these backup speculative guys. Can I get myself some of this Aaron Jones, the Roschon Johnson, the Jalen Warren, or even go all the way down to a Ty Chandler? Can I get a Tyler Allgeier to to have for maybe Bijan gets hurt? Can I get an Elijah Mitchell for if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt? Can I get Gus Edwards? Like, he's looking like he's going to be the number one running back on LA, and I'll take a gamble on that. Same with Ezekiel Elliott. He did pretty good on New England last year. Can I get him again? That's the sort of thing that I'm going to be investing in and trying to have those kinds of players and get them really cheap. And so I'm just going to have to be flexible based on, hey, who gets nominated, who's getting passed on, all those sorts of things. It's also really helpful to have a ranking sheet on the side that you can cross players off of. So that way I'm aware of, hey, how many of these guys are available? If I'm trying to get somebody in this lower end, like RB, like second running back on their team sort of tier, how many of those guys are left? Do I need to actually bid up for some of these guys, or can I just kind of let my league mates start taking them off and spending their money so that way I get a cheaper value later? Looking at the wide receiver position, I want to try and get one top 12 guy. It's just helpful to always have that one guy who's pretty consistent at having good games and can have some of those spike weeks for you. The wide receivers really help you win championships. The quarterbacks are much better at helping you get to the championship. And in addition to that one top 12 wide receiver, I want to see if I can get myself like two of the top 24 guys. Now, I'm not saying that this one top 12 and two top 24, if you went all young for those guys, that's going to get quite expensive really fast. If you're trying to get yourself, say, a Justin Jefferson, that might end up costing you like $140, $150. And that's way too much for the $259 that I have allocated. So instead, I want to look at, okay, can I maybe get some people to give me a guy like Tyreek Hill for $70? Or can I get a Mike Evans for even like $60 or something? I don't know exactly what these prices are going to be, but we're going to find out. That I've never played with these guys. They might value guys a little differently than me. And some of them have flat out said they've never done an auction before. So that's something that I can expect a little bit of variance, a little bit of randomness, and I'm going to have to kind of play it by ear. But at this wide receiver position, I want to try and get one top 12 guy, two top 24s if I can, and the rest of them I want to be in the top 50. In total, I'm trying to get to about seven wide receivers. The reason is because I can play five of them every single week, and so I'm able to have two guys on the bench, and if those are two guys that are closer to the wide receiver 50, if one of my starting five goes down, I don't need to be worried about replacing them because I'll have good guys to plug in and keep my team rolling. And so lastly, the tight end, literally anybody. Just think through the tight ends don't matter episode that I did last week. I might even get lucky and be able to grab a guy like a Hunter Henry for a dollar or something like that. Or maybe I'll use a little bit of my flexible money. I'll try to get Noah Fant for $2 or something like that and just see what happens. You never know, and we'll see if I'm able to get some of those better guys, and I'll be able to sell them and be able to pick up some more draft capital for 2025 that I'm then able to use when the playoffs get close to, hey, let me grab this backup who's going to be the primary ball carrier for the New England Patriots or somebody like that for the rest of the season. Now, if things start to go sour, some backup plans that I have are that I'm going to pass on the running backs and send more of that money into the wide receivers and quarterbacks if I need to. I want to stay pretty close to having those two top quarterbacks. I want to have those seven wide receivers. The stud running back could get bumped down a little bit. Maybe instead of a Bijan and Brees, I focus in on a Kyren Williams. Maybe I focus in and I just get myself a Travis Etienne, or I get myself a Joe Mixon or a James Cook. Like, I can work with one of those guys as well. And that's the sort of thing that I kind of need to play with as the draft goes. See what the values these guys are going for and see how I play against it. If they start to go too crazy on the quarterbacks, I'm going to get the lower tier quarterbacks and I'm going to reallocate that money to wide receiver. Can I I'm going to make sure that I'm at least nominating these top tier quarterbacks at the beginning, so that way they're going off the board, and so that way I'm seeing the amount of money that people are willing to pay for quarterbacks. Because I have a feeling that I'm one of the people that is going to pay a lot more for the quarterbacks, just because, especially with people that haven't done auction before, they might be unwilling to immediately spend a third of their budget on a single player. I might be willing to do that if it's the right guy. Can I get Josh Allen for $300? It's a pretty good bet there that he's going to finish, if not quarterback one or two, like he's done the past 5 years, at least in the top like five or so, which is definitely a difference maker in this league. So if it happens that they're spending a ton on those quarterbacks, I need to back myself out of that top tier quarterback conversation. I'm going to come in hard on the top tier wide receiver. Can I get myself the CeeDee Lamb and the Justin Jefferson? Can I get myself a CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra? Can I get myself the AJ Browns and one of those top tier guys, and get myself a DJ Moore and a Michael Pittman and a Puka? Like, that's the kind of thing that I'm going to try and dump my money into if I'm not able to dump it into quarterback. So ultimately, it looks like I'm going to go in. I have this budget: $459 for quarterback, $178 for running back, $259 for wide receiver, $100 flexible, and $1 allocated for the tight end. And I'm going to try and get myself these top-tier quarterbacks and these top wide receivers and maybe one good running back with a bunch of decent backups. And if it starts to go haywire, they invest a ton into quarterbacks, I'm going to flip onto the wide receivers. And then if I find that I want to reallocate some money to the running backs because they aren't going as overboard on the quarterbacks, but I still need a little bit more money there, I'll lower my running back standards and to be able to put more money into that. So that's how I'm going in. That's how I'm going to be flexible. And in a minute here, you'll get to hear how it went. All right, before we get into how this went, I just want to take a moment and once again shout out the South Harmon website, southharmonff.com/warp. That is where you can get the warp tool, and right now until the NFL draft, you can use the code DRAFTSEASON and get 20% off. You can also check out our partners at Ultimate Autographs at SignedShit, that is signed, SH.IT. All right, now into how the draft went and what I'm going to change in the future. All right, so I'm just going to start by reading out the team that I ended up getting, and then I'll talk about how I ended up there and what sort of things I wish I could have done differently if I had done this over again. So my team, I got quarterbacks of Jalen Hurts, Anthony Richardson, and Bryce Young. I ended up with the running back room of Jonathan Taylor, Devin Singletary, Ezekiel Elliott, and a bunch of other like second and third string backup running backs. My wide receiver room is Michael Pittman, Christian Kirk, Marquise Hollywood Brown, Rashid Shaheed, and that is it. My tight ends, I got a $1 Juwan Johnson. And I also ended up with some draft picks. I ended up with the 107 and then some fourth and fifth rounders. So I was able to successfully get the two rushing quarterback floor. I kind of feel like I overspent a little bit on Anthony Richardson. So Anthony Richardson ended up going for $245 auction dollars. And if you look at the other quarterbacks that went, Lamar Jackson went for $240. Joe Burrow went for $225. Kyler Murray went for $241. Justin Herbert also went for $225. And what ended up happening was what kind of happens when you're doing an auction. You're at the whim of when people end up going on the board. And Anthony Richardson was the last quarterback that went on the board before you dropped down into the Brock Purdy, the Jared Goff, the Kirk Cousins, that sort of tier of player. And so it ended up being that Anthony Richardson got his value pushed up. Based on rankings, I probably would have expected him to go for like 220. But he ended up going higher. I just ended up deciding, you know what, I'm going to to go for it. I reached into my flexible budget. So I'd already spent $272 on Jalen Hurts, spent $245 on Anthony Richardson. You add that up, you're at over $500. So I pulled a little bit out of that flexible budget in order to be able to handle these two quarterbacks. That ended up leaving me with only $58 being flexible, and I had $0 left in my quarterback budget. So if you're hearing that, then you're like, Koopa, why did you spend $74 and get a Bryce Young? Well, that ended up kind of being a mistake. I was just bidding up Bryce Young because I was like, $74 is way too cheap for Bryce Young with the prices of all these other quarterbacks. And I ended up getting stuck with him for $74. So I am fine with the fact that I have Bryce Young because I believe that I'm going to be able to get more value for Bryce Young. You compare to some of the other wide receivers that ended up going around that. T. Higgins went for 87. DK Metcalf went for 74, so the same amount. You also have, honestly, a lot of these wide receivers ended up going a little cheaper than I thought, too, looking back over the board. But even like a Brandon Ayuk went for $91. And so I can probably help turn Bryce Young into a receiver, which I listed off the four receivers that I got. And I desperately need help there, especially if I'm going to try and compete. The other thing is I ended up with an $86.107. That was something where as the board was being bid on, the 107 ended up being nominated before the 102, the 104, the 105, or the 106. So everyone was kind of holding their money for those picks, and the 107 went much cheaper than those. The drop off from the 106 to the 107 was like $50 or something like that. It was $125 down to $86. So I spent $86 for the 107, $125 for the 106. I will gladly take that because I believe that the 107 is going to be in that top tier and should be very close to those top six picks. And then I can play the same game. I can take that 107, I can either draft it, or I can, what I'm more likely to do is to trade it to somebody else that is going to be struggling a little bit. There's some teams in here that are going to be struggling to compete, and I might be able to take that 107, get some better receivers, help bolster my team. So that's the main thing that I'm looking at coming out of this, is that I've got a few top tier guys. I've got my Anthony Richardson, I've got my Jalen Hurts. And I realized pretty quickly that I wasn't going to end up with a lot of these good veterans. The Tyreek Hills and the Stephon Diggs ended up outside of my price range. I did end up spending up a little bit for Michael Pittman, and I went and I bid for Jonathan Taylor, and I won Jonathan Taylor. And it wasn't until he was on my team that I realized, I've got three Colts on my team. So I might be looking to make a move there before the season starts, just to reduce my exposure into one singular team for the whole season. But in general, I managed to get myself a decently young team, which is also good because my team, in terms of the how well they're going to do factor, I think is a little worrying. For those of you who didn't know, though, as part of the Warp subscription on the South Harmon website, you also get access to the league simulator that I've implemented. And that league simulator currently has me as either the last or the second to last team, depending on the simulation. And so I am not expecting myself to really be in the position to compete. And so I'm going to have to do a lot of work if I want to get around to competing. But that was also part of my thought of, okay, as I was going through, I realized, okay, Christian Kirk, Hollywood Brown, those guys will still be around 2-3 years from now. And I could see that my flex positions were Rashid Shaheed and Ezekiel Elliott. And So I can rely on, all right, let me take this 107. Maybe I can try and roll it into somebody else who's young and do a little bit of a I've got some guys, but try to just struggle year one, maybe earn myself the 102 or the 103, and then use that to try and roll into the following year. The draft class next year isn't going to be so bad that the 102, 103 isn't going to be valuable. And so as long as nobody else tries to race to, that I'm not expecting to, tries to race to the bottom, I should be okay. So I might be punting year one in this league when I was initially going into the draft going, all right, let me see how I can try and win this league. So that's just something that I have to pivot to. And I think I pivoted well during the draft. I think I pivoted two guys that are going to be around. The only person that I might want to trade away immediately if I decide to completely pass on this year is to trade away Devin Singletary. But Devin Singletary, I can just net myself probably a second, assuming he ends up being the starting running back in New York. And I'll just roll that into next year and I'll just essentially play it by year. And the Bryce Young pick, I could try to roll him into something else, or I can just have him sit on my bench right now. The quarterbacks kind of spread themselves out among a lot of teams, and there's a few teams that might be needing a quarterback. So there's one team that ended up with Christian McCaffrey, Kyron Williams, Mike Evans, Devon Achane, Isaiah Pacheco. Like, this team is designed to go for it, and their quarterbacks are going to be whatever they can get at the 102 and the 104, which my stuff has shown that, hey, rookies are not going to help you in year one. And so they might be struggling and want to trade away those rookie quarterbacks. And so if that's the case, I can potentially give them, I could even end up giving them like an Anthony Richardson if they want, and be getting back, like, if Anthony Richardson looks like he's hitting, maybe get back both those rookies. Maybe do the same thing with Jalen Hurts. Maybe I can use that to get some like injured players that they have and give them some of my guys that are healthy. Moves like that can definitely help turn this team around. But ultimately, I think I'm not going to end up competing year one. The more that I'm looking at it, I just don't see how my team is going to end up being able to compete with a lot of these other ones that ended up with these veteran players. So I'm going to end it with talking about, how did that happen? How did I end up going into the draft thinking I'm going to try and compete, and why did it happen that I'm not going to be competing, and where do I think I messed it up? So the first spot that I think I messed it up was not being as aggressive at getting that second. I liked getting the second quarterback, but I think leaving my other second quarterback to when there was only one guy in the tier left caused a little bit of a price run. The other thing that happened was at the beginning there was a little bit of everyone was holding their money. They didn't know quite whether to spend or not. That's when I got Jalen Hurts for only $272. I thought that was a great deal. And I could have gotten Lamar Jackson for probably like $245, the same amount I got Anthony Richardson for. And so I should have just gone in, done that. Or even when Kyler Murray was being bid on, he went for $241. If just for safety's sake, as my quarterback too, I'd rather have Kyler Murray than Anthony Richardson, even though Anthony Richardson has the greater ceiling. So it's one of those things where, all right, I ended up getting forced into this bidding war to get somebody who's worth a little less, but I needed to spend that money then. So it seems weird to say this, but if I'd spent more money earlier, I probably could have been fine and saved myself a little bit of money there. The second thing was I ended up overspending for my running back one. So I ended up spending $101 on Jonathan Taylor, which when you compare it to Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson, seems like a steal. Breece Hall went for 180, Bijan Robinson went for 168, Jahmyr Gibbs went for 152, Jonathan Taylor going for 101. Like, that seems like such a steal. But I also could have not gotten Jonathan Taylor, and I could have gone with a Josh Jacobs for 47, a James Cook for 40, a Rashad White for 48, Isaiah Pacheco for 52, Najee Harris for 46, Saquon Barkley for 69. Like, any of those would have been a much better choice, and then I would not have needed to invest as heavily as I did, have more money to be able to get myself some receivers later. And I don't regret the Michael Pittman for 102. Personally, I am higher on Michael Pittman. I know that is me saying a player that is specifically, and I talk about how on this podcast, how I'm not focusing on the players. When you're talking about a draft, you're going to end up with some of that here and there. But I'm a little higher on Michael Pittman. I'm fine with the 102, especially compared to the other wide receivers where they ended up going 102. Matches up quite well. The Christian Kirk and the Hollywood Brown, I felt like were steals. The Christian Kirk was $40 and Hollywood Brown was $38. That ended up being right in the range where you talk about, like, Jaden Reed went for $61, Zay Flowers $57, Davante Adams $53. Like, I feel like they're much more in that kind of range of player. Especially with all the Rashee Rice stuff coming out. So I think that it would have been, I think those were great deals. But I also ended up missing out on Deebo Samuel going for 54. I also missed out on Amari Cooper going for 36. I missed out on Keenan Allen going for 29. DeAndre Hopkins went for $11. Like, these are the kinds of things that I didn't have the budget for by the time those guys came around. And that was a result of getting stuck with the Bryce Young. I was just bidding him up because I was like, if $74 is way too cheap for Bryce Young, and apparently it wasn't for this league. And then the 107, I was thinking the same way. Of like $86 is way too cheap for the 107, got stuck with that. So had I had that money back, I probably would have ended up getting myself the Amari Cooper, the Keenan Allen, the Jacoby Myers, the Deebo Samuels. I mean, that amount of money that I spent on those two guys, $160, I could have got myself Deebo Samuel, Amari, I'm doing mental math here, Deebo Samuel, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Jacoby Myers, take away Jacoby Myers. So Deebo Samuel, Deontay Johnson, Amari Cooper, and Keenan Allen. I could have gotten all of those guys for my 107 and my Bryce Young. I might be able to try and work some trades to get those guys, but now those are locked into those managers' roster constructions, and so it's going to be much harder to actually obtain those players. So I'm not going to bank on it and play for an earlier draft pick this upcoming season. Try to be the manager that anytime somebody needs something, I've got it to offer them. I've got a good Christian Kirk. I've got a good Hollywood Brown. That anybody who suffers a wide receiver injury, guess what? I've got those two guys to spare. You can come talk to me. If you've got a quarterback injury, I've got Jalen Hurts, Anthony Richardson, and Bryce Young. Pick your flavor. I'm also going to have the 107. We'll see what that turns out to be, whether that ends up being a wide receiver or a quarterback. Judging based on the draft picks and what teams ended up with those, I have a gut feeling that it's going to end up being a wide receiver. So that'll be another thing that, hey, I've got this other young wide receiver. Maybe he starts to show some signs and somebody wants to come in and get him. I can kind of play it flexible and just accumulate value. That's what I'm going to be doing this next year in this league. And unfortunately, that's just the way it plays out. My team didn't end up doing great in terms of how it's going to look for competing, and I've just got to live with it. So that's everything for this week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you ever have any other questions about auctions or auction strategy or that kind of stuff, feel free to hit me up. Maybe I'll be doing future episodes on future auction drafts that I do. And with that, stay sharp, keep grinding that edge, and I'll see you next week.